Hello, family of God. This is Pastor Renee Antrosio. Today we continue the conversation about presenting ourselves daily to God, choosing life with God in order to not be conformed to the patterns of our culture, but rather be transformed into the life-giving patterns of God's work in us and in the world. What are God's patterns? What are our cultural patterns? What are our personal patterns? What are the patterns of our institutions and organizations, and how can we break out of old ruts and choose new paths? Today we're going to start with the big picture: government, institutions, organizations, their brokenness and their potential, and then our contributions and participation in these systems with all of our gifts and flaws as individuals and groups. The brokenness of big systems is glaringly obvious, right? Housing inequity, for instance, in our communities, in Mississippi, all over the world, is a huge problem. The legacy of slavery, Jim Crow, redlining, restrictive covenants that excluded people of color from purchasing homes in certain communities, discrimination, wealth and wage gaps, and ongoing inequalities have produced a very skewed system of home ownership in America. The racial gap in home ownership showcases accumulated systemic inequities. The disparities between the rich with multiple mansions, the upper middle class with mortgages and property, and the poor who do not have access to safe, stable housing are appalling. So what do we do? Our scripture passage from Paul's letter to the church in Rome reads, "So, brothers and sisters, because of God's mercies, I encourage you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your appropriate priestly service. Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature." In the early 1970s, Clarence Jordan, farmer and biblical scholar, took the gospel message from heart to action on Koinonia Farm in Georgia. He presented himself to God, not being conformed to the systems of American home ownership, but opening himself to holy imagination to pursue God's good, pleasing, and mature will. Thus were planted the seeds of what would become Habitat for Humanity. On the community farm, Clarence Jordan and Habitat's eventual founders, Millard and Linda Fuller, developed the concept of partnership housing, centered on those in need of adequate shelter working side by side with volunteers to build decent, affordable houses. The houses will be built at no profit. New homeowners' house payments would be combined with no-interest loans provided by supporters and money earned by fundraising to create the Fund for Humanity, which would then be used to build more homes. Thus, Habitat for Humanity International was founded in 1976. 1976? Does that year ring a bell? New Covenant just celebrated our 50th year as a fellowship. The 70s were a happening time. The 1960s exposed deep brokenness in our systems, and people longed for transformation, both individually and collectively. This holy longing was an opening to God's Spirit moving around the world. The Jesus movement popularly called countercultural. Bible studies grew too big to meet in any one home. They did not want to be conformed to the patterns of churches they had known, but to be transformed with new minds set on following Jesus' model of fellowship, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, and welcoming each other into their homes. New Covenant endeavored to put Paul's words into practice from Romans 12, verses 3 through 8. Because of the grace that God gave me, I can say to each one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Instead, be reasonable, since God has measured out a portion of faith to each one of you. We have many parts in one body, but the parts don't all have the same function. In the same way, though there are many of us, we are one body in Christ, and individually we belong to each other. We have different gifts that are consistent with God's grace that has been given to us. If your gift is prophecy, you should prophesy in proportion to your faith. If your gift is service, devote yourself to serving. If your gift is teaching, devote yourself to teaching. If your gift is encouragement, devote yourself to encouraging. The one giving should do it with no strings attached. The leader should lead with passion. The one showing mercy should be cheerful. Do you see yourself and your gifts in this brief list? Building a habitat house requires a lot of different skills to come together to make a home. Fundraising, bookkeeping, recruiting and organizing volunteers, soliciting donations, pouring concrete, raising trusses, hanging sheetrock, painting, installing cabinets and flooring, siding and landscaping. I love the possibility of houses, the different styles of architecture, how function and beauty of form can come together, the design challenges of a space. But I am not the person you want with a paintbrush in hand or using power tools. Instead, I can encourage, support, recruit people with skills, donate, and offer prayers of blessing. New Covenant has a legacy of responding to needs we see in the world, places where our systems beg for transformation. CU one-to-one mentoring grew out of NCF through Barbara Linder, observing how often kids need to have an adult who focuses on them one-on-one in the school environment, outside the classroom where teachers manage and instruct more than 20 kids at a time. Kids need multiple adults in their lives who listen and care and believe in them beyond their parents and teachers. I am so grateful that my kids grew up in this fellowship where they formed bonds with so many of you. Other adults who played with them and taught them and talked and listened and asked questions. We did not raise our kids alone. They grew up in a community of adults who invested in them. And that is what we want for all children, in churches and in schools, that they know they are not alone. They are loved by people who believe in their potential, not to be conformed to the broken patterns of our society, but to be transformed in our minds to grow into people who serve, teach, encourage, give, lead with passion, and show mercy with cheerfulness. The Champaign County Christian Health Center grew out of recognition of the need for free health care for the uninsured and underinsured. As Jeff Trask and Nida Skeels and Patty McNewson and Barbara Pritchard and Julian Rappaport and many other NCF folks came together to serve our community through dedicated volunteers. Spring Initiative grew out of New Covenant's habitat trips to the Mississippi Delta, recognizing the need for resources and investment in students and families to empower young people to access the opportunities they deserve and build successful, happy, and hopeful lives. Donations from New Covenant and supporters all over the world flow into the Delta through spring. To employ local staff at all levels of the organization and fund transformative opportunities and experiences for students from first grade up through college and trade school. The CU Reparations Coalition and the Generation to Generation Investments Reparations Pilot Project are current initiatives that have emerged from New Covenant's openness to follow God's direction of transformation. The newly formed Nonviolent Action Group collaborates with people of faith across the community on various projects. Together, we try to follow Paul's instructions to the church in Rome. Love should be shown without pretending. Hate evil and hold on to what is good. Love each other like members of your family. Be the best at showing honor to each other. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in the Spirit as you serve the Lord. Be happy in your hope. Stand your ground when you're in trouble and devote yourselves to prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people and welcome strangers into your home. The good news of following Jesus is that we can join in God's work of transforming the world. Instead of despair at the brokenness around us, we are invited to love each other, show honor, be enthusiastic, happy in hope, devoted to prayer, generous in charity and hospitality. This energy fuels the creation of new organizations to address the needs that ignite our hearts. Who knows what might grow from your passion to see the world transformed? Or what organizations might yet arise from New Covenant? This is exciting. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic, Paul says. And each of our helping transformative organizations, Habitat for Humanity, New Covenant, CU One-to-One Mentoring, Champaign County Christian Health Center, Spring Initiative, the CU Reparations Coalition, Generation to Generation Investment Reparations, are imperfect initiatives made up of flawed individuals. At some point in your volunteering or entrepreneurial work, with all your good motives and well-intentioned actions, you will be confronted with the imperfections of our organizations. This includes, of course, churches and nonprofits, from the smallest project to the biggest institutions. We hurt each other. We make mistakes. We move too quickly or too slowly. We don't get enough input, do enough research, get enough advice. Or we spend so much time studying and educating ourselves that we become mired in possibility and never manage to act. We can be blind to the ways we are conformed to our own cultures, and we can become achingly aware of our own need for transformation. We encounter resistance, harassment, loss, and actions intended to destroy the good work in progress. Misunderstandings and divisions undermine effective work. In other words, we encounter difficulties without and within when we try to participate in the transformation of our institutions and ourselves. Paul acknowledged that it would not be all enthusiasm and roses, as he continued saying, "Bless people who harass you. Bless and don't curse them. Be happy with those who are happy and cry with those who are crying. Consider everyone as equal and don't think you're better than anyone else. Instead, associate with people who have no status. Don't think that you're so smart. Don't pay back anyone for their evil actions with evil actions, but show respect for what everyone else believes is good." Just as each of us has different gifts, we are also at different points on our life journey. Some of us are in the enthusiastic stage where we have the holy imagination to embark on new initiatives to address needs for transformation in our world. Some of us see the opportunities to add our labor or resources to organizations doing good work. Perhaps some of us have become discouraged by the intractability of injustice or the imperfections of our helping organizations. Perhaps we are bogged down in our own brokenness and can't see a path forward to our own transformation, let alone that of the world. What is the difference between faith-based organizations and secular nonprofits? What is the difference between folks working for transformation because of their faith and those working for justice out of their innate sense of right and wrong? From the outside, I don't think the differences are always obvious, but what about on the inside? It is hard to explain, at least for me, the X factor of believing that God loves us, of experiencing the grace of forgiveness, of feeling the presence of the resurrected Jesus with us, of embracing the comfort and recognizing the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I know that I would personally not be motivated toward the work of justice without the promptings of the Spirit, the convicting inspirations of Scripture, and this fellowship of believers who encourage and blaze the path forward. I am easily discouraged by my own imperfections and inadequacies. Who am I to be a spokesperson for reparations? Who am I to lead a fellowship of wise and faithful believers? In Dr. Dana's teaching last week, we were reminded that when God told Jonah to go to the big, sinful city and preach repentance, Jonah went the opposite direction. For all kinds of reasons, including pride, Jonah did not want to participate in God's transforming work of mercy and justice. And we each have our own reasons for sometimes wanting to run the other way from the work God is calling us to. My pride is that I don't want to make mistakes. I don't want to be part of flawed organizations that hurt people along the way to doing God good. I don't want to be held accountable for the messes that result from good intentions and imperfect interventions. It seems easier to mind my own business, build health and wealth for my own family, and follow the American pattern for success instead of taking the risks of getting involved in the work of justice. But as tempting as that pattern might be, it is not the path that leads to joy, peace, and true life. In his letter to the church in Galatia, Paul says, "Those who plant only for their own benefit will harvest devastation from their selfishness. But those who plant for the benefit of the Spirit will harvest eternal life from the Spirit." Let's not get tired of doing good, because in time we'll have a harvest if we don't give up. So then, let's work for the good of all whenever we have an opportunity, and especially for those in the household of faith. Galatians 6, 8 through 10. As individuals and as organizations, we must not grow tired of doing good. When we fall down, we can pick each other up. Together, we will have ample opportunities to experience both the need for forgiveness and the ability to extend it to one another. In our weakness, we return again and again to the grace of God. Being transformed as individuals, as a fellowship, as organizations, is where life is, the path and the journey. Paul ends chapter 12 of Romans with these words: "If possible, to the best of your ability, live at peace with all people. Don't try to get revenge for yourselves, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. It is written, 'Revenge belongs to me. I will pay it back,' says the Lord. Instead, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. By doing this, you will pile burning coals of fire upon his head. Don't be defeated by evil, but defeat evil with good." My prayer for us, as individuals, as a fellowship, and as organizations, is that we would continue to present ourselves to God to be transformed, that our minds and hearts would be renewed so that we can figure out what God's will is, what is good and pleasing and mature, and then do that together. And that in that process, we would abound more and more in forgiveness and grace to each other and to ourselves as God gives to us. Amen.